You're listening to Worldwide KFUO. I'm Andy Bates. This hour underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. We go now live to the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Kip Allen reporting from Wisconsin.
From the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee at the 66th Regular Lutheran Convention, LCMS Convention. Funny thing you should mention about the Concordia University, because I just happened to be with Dean Wenthe, who's president of the Concordia University system.
Good to be
aboard.
With you. It's a treat to be here.
Well, tell me, what have you been doing so far in the at the convention today?
Okay.
What's so important about it for you?
Well, there's especially one thing that is at the front of our priorities, and that is to share the good news about our universities and their achievements. The context of higher education today is very challenging with distance education and governmental regulations and the demographics. But an even more challenging thing is the state of higher education, where frequently there's a loss of direction and purpose in higher education. One of the people in higher education, a university professor from the University of Wesleyan, has written this: higher education is ripe for disruption. In recent years, there has been a wave of publications expressing skepticism about the future of our colleges and universities, skepticism about the value of their educational outcomes, skepticism about the deservedness of their social prestige, skepticism about the sustainability of their business models. And an English professor from the University of Virginia writes, "One knows in order to succeed, one knows in order not to be made a fool of, but one does not know in order to acquire the only things that real learning offers, virtue and wisdom." And we want to share with the convention that that's this precisely the area that the Concordia University system is serving, to look at our students and view them as God's creatures. Not simply as accidents of time, but as a person who can be shaped in God's grace to enjoy virtue and wisdom in a full life.
Well, as one of the sayings go, you know, college is tough. You need Jesus. And that is so vitally important in this day and age. I know when I was in college, it was downplayed. And I should imagine even now it's worse.
Right. In fact, what we've discovered is our culture as a whole is running from real knowledge, the kind of knowledge that includes God and His wonderful blessings. Let me just quote one more very interesting piece from the chief rabbi of the Hebrew Union Colleges in the British Commonwealth. He writes, "What the secularists forgot is that human beings are the meaning-seeking creatures. If there is one thing that the great institutions of the modern world do not do, it is to provide meaning. Science tells us how, but not why. Technology gives us power, but cannot guide us as to how to use that power. The market gives us choices, but leaves us uninstructed as to how to make those choices. The liberal democratic state gives us freedom to live as we choose, but refuses, on principle, to guide us as to how to choose. But all of these do not answer the three questions that every reflective individual will ask at some time in his or her life: who am I, why am I here, and how then shall I live?" And those are the more fundamental questions that the Concordia universities and colleges are prepared to address and to answer with intellectual integrity and with charity that flows from our faith in Christ.
Are you facing a more difficult time now? I'm thinking specifically in the wake of a couple of court rulings, and I think this especially is going to be effective.
Yes, this is a significant challenge. For example, our university in Irvine, California is facing the loss of $3 million a year, because if it passes, it's a latest report, not yet through the House of Representatives. But if that legislation would pass, not only our college, but a number of other Christian colleges in Southern California would lose the state grants that should come to students from California. But because of our ethical and Christian convictions about what is good and moral behavior, we would be excluded from receiving those funds. So it is a time when governmental challenges are significant, and yet It is a time when the gospel, in all of its richness and beauty, can stand out all the more brightly. I think our universities will be lights on the hill in a dark universe of moral relativism that is already damaging young people on our secular campuses and our nation as a whole.
Well, I think this is the one of the major things that we as Lutherans and as Christians recognize is that moral relativism is the path to perdition. There is actual truth. There is actual morality.
There is. And, you know, what is clear in our time is the rejection of what has historically been called natural law has reached unparalleled heights. For example, denying your gender, that you were designated at your birth, is actually denying God's gift of creation and the beauty of masculinity, femininity, as God has ordered those things. And what the church offers because of God's revelation is the wonderful vocation to be a godly man, a godly woman, and live in a way that will glorify His name and benefit our spouses, our neighbors, because it's a good order. And for all of that to now be challenged and to have families fragmented results in very painful childhoods, disoriented adulthoods, and one can see it at every point where there is a lack of moral compass.
Well, for example, the Obergefell decision, one of the ominous aspects of it was when the Solicitor General said that the tax status of universities that will not, for example, provide housing for gay couples could be endangered.
Yes, I think that's a very real challenge. And I think the call, as in previous generations as Christians, we need to charitably but clearly and firmly stand for the truth and to suffer whatever challenges that presents. We're still hopeful that our nation will, in a very, you know, historic way, embrace religious freedom. But there are clearly those who want to take religion from the public square. They want to remove it from any benefits that have historically been granted since our founding fathers wrote the Constitution. So we're in a new epoch, and I'm so grateful for all the universities, the presidents, and the Board of Regents have very clearly dedicated themselves to the position of sacred scripture and the Lutheran confessions. They are publicly announcing that, and on their campuses are practicing the faith of the church.
And we in the Missouri Synod, I think, are standing very firmly behind this. The Missouri Synod is very clear on where and how it stands on these issues. And as our founder said, here we stand. We cannot back down.
Exactly. In fact, I'm very grateful for the leadership of our church. And while some Christian traditions have acculturated and given up 2,000 years of clear teaching from sacred scripture and even natural law, by God's grace, our church is boldly confessing the truth in a loving way, and we need, by God's grace, to help our culture by speaking that truth in love, because without it, there is no option for people to leave the darkness and come into the light of God's mercy and grace in Christ.
Where do you see the future of the university system, specifically of the Concordia University system?
My preferred future, and the future I pray for, is that as our culture grows darker at every point, that our universities will become known for their clearness, for their charity in announcing Jesus Christ. For example, on each campus, the chapels are prominent. On several campuses, right away, there are signs and engravings that indicate the position. One, for example, at Irvine quotes Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And as we remain faithful to that message, our light will shine all the brighter. And by God's grace, people will see the difference between a view of human beings that reduces us to transitory material entities, soon to return to the cold darkness of an aimless cosmos, to the seeing ourselves as God's very children and created in His image. And as Jesus says in Luke 15, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. What a joy among the angels. So that's how significant human beings are. And our universities can herald that message of significance and grace that is bespoken in Christ, that He has turned our lives from darkness to light.
Well, let me get into some of the nuts and bolts for the university system here. Let's say that I was a parent and I have a child who's considering the university. What do you offer? What majors, what training can you give these people?
Okay. We offer a spectrum of very rich programs. Historically, we've had a very strong teacher program, and that still continues to flourish in preparing parochial school teachers. We've had pre-ministerial and deaconess programs, but now we have a whole variety of graduate programs. We have a pharmacy school. We have multiple nursing schools. We have physical therapy schools. We are adding various expertise. One university is considering having an optometry school now, where a doctorate in optometry can be obtained. So I would encourage you to look at the real variety that is available in subject matter. But more importantly, go and visit these campuses and see the different way in which you're treated, the way you're respected, the way not only the students' academic growth is considered, but also their emotional and spiritual health. I was recently at Seward, where the chapel was full of young people, and in the hallways were all these backpacks filled with computers, and hundreds of computers, and none of them disappeared. That shows it's a different culture. It's a different place for the formation of young people.
Absolutely. One thing that really struck me about what you just mentioned with the curriculum is this is all service-oriented things along the nurse, the optometry, and the idea being this is what we do as Christians. We serve people.
That's a very good point, that our vertical relationship with God is really always a servant also of our relationship to our neighbor. And the way in which our faculties are devoted to serving their neighbors in their students is exemplary. Over and over and over, I've heard from our students that faculty members not only care about them, but they can be called at any hour. They are there to pray with them, to work with them over academic challenges, and that bespeaks the Christian's desire to reach out and in support and encourage and nurture the neighbor.
For those who aren't aware of the system, or at least how far-reaching it is, where are our campuses located?
Okay, we have campuses all over the United States. I'll begin on the East Coast with Concordia College Bronxville, a beautiful historic campus. We have Concordia in Ann Arbor in Wisconsin. They are now combined into one institution centered in Mequon, Wisconsin. We have Concordia Chicago, historically called River Forest, Concordia St. Paul, Minnesota, Concordia Seward, Concordia Seward, Nebraska, Concordia in Irvine, California, and Concordia in Portland, Oregon. And we should also mention Concordia College in Selma, Alabama.
I want to point out also, one of the other hats I wear at KFUO is occasionally I will sit in and do announcing for our sacred music programs. Oh. And the choirs of the Concordia system, Concordia, Minnesota, Concordia, River Forest campus, Concordia, Wisconsin. My word, how have you taught these people to sing like this?
Well, you know, that's a very good point, because historically, music has been a wonderful strength of all of our campuses. And the dedication of the music faculties is exemplary. They really work with the students. And it's refreshing to see these young people 50, 100 of them singing in such wonderful kind of tone and timbre, and to see and hear their confession of the faith. It's uplifting and really a window on a generation. We need to see all the good that is also present in this younger generation. And my own sense is that the pendulum is swinging somewhat back, that the young Christian young people are now sensing the beauty of their calling and are deeply committed to it because the environment is not as supportive as it once was.
It seems to be going that way, and I really hope you're right. I remember one of the things Luther said was that besides the gospel, God's greatest gift to us is music. And this is one way how we celebrate God and how we remember, because of this, the beauty that this music represents, right, reminds us of the beauty of the gospel.
Exactly. And in fact, the beauty of creation, the beauty of human beings is an indication that we are God's creatures. And if you look at classical Christian art, if you look at contemporary Christian art, there's a beauty about it that secular art can't express because it lacks the story of God's love and the enfleshment of Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the things I like to emphasize is that if you believe Jesus rose from the dead, everything changes. Your whole world changes because it opens up possibilities for mercy and forgiveness, possibilities for embracing all the good that's out there, the noble callings to be a doctor, lawyer, physician, farmer, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, whatever it is, you know, you have a reason to live because Christ's resurrection grounds your belief and it opens your world. Whereas if you adopt the dogmatism of secularism, there are no openings, that we are creatures here today and gone tomorrow. Like an ancient Greek philosopher Pythagoras said, man is the measure of all things. And if that is true, there is not much good to hope for because men are all in the grave. But there's one who lives on high, and all who are in him will not stay in that grave. Even now they live with him, and one day their bodies will be joined. So Christ's resurrection changes the atmosphere of our campuses. It changes the way they think about chemistry, about English, about the biology. The whole arts and crafts change because Jesus has opened up God's bosom of love and mercy to us.
Well, one of the things where secularism, I think, really not just fails, but is harmful, is where it denigrates certain callings while elevating others. For example, the feminist movement say, good heavens, why would a woman ever want to be a mother and a housewife? But Luther preached on the nobility of the vocation, that the baker, the mother, the good father is just as vital to God's plan as is the preacher.
Exactly the case. And every human being has this noble calling to be a servant of their neighbors. And whatever, you know, my pastor growing up used to say, there was a street sweeper in our town, and he did an extraordinary job, and he would always say that his job is as significant as anyone's job because he does it in service to others and with a commitment to excellence. And so while secularism flattens things out and makes them terribly dark, the Christian faith enriches reality because that's the truth. God has created a rich and wonderful world for our support and enjoyment and for celebrating his deliverance in Christ.
And this is one of the things that is taught through the Concordia University system, through the teachings of Jesus and through the teachings, of course, of Martin Luther himself.
Exactly. And let me just share, here's the identity statement that our institutions have all publicly committed to and that will be presented to the convention for adoption. They have said, and all the presidents and their boards of regents have agreed, that as educational institutions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the colleges and universities of the Concordia University system confess the faith of the Church. The Concordias uphold the teaching of sacred scripture and its articulation in the Lutheran confessions. This includes the biblical truth that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is the sole way to God's mercy and grace. That at the beginning of time, the triune God created all things, that life is sacred from conception to natural death, and that marriage between a man and a woman is a sacred gift of God's creative hand, over against the reductionistic assumptions of many in our culture who view men and women as only transitory and material beings. So that statement by our Concordia University system opens up the world for prospective students and is a witness to this world about a different way of understanding human beings.
You had a word there that really struck home, I think, when describing the secular world, reductionists. It reduces everything.
Yes, it flattens everything out. And human beings, as I quoted earlier, are meant to ask who they are. That's a natural ingredient of us being created in the image of God. We, as St. Augustine said, we're restless until we rest in God. And that beautiful reality in all people is something that the Concordia University system wants to address with the wonderful truth that they are not only God's creatures, but God loves them, God has given his Son for them, and in Christ's resurrection opens up the future for life for them in his merciful arms and bosom.
And this is taught not just in theology classes, it's taught in how we live. And again, this is one of the things that the university system teaches, is how to live.
Exactly. And the professors and staff express that in multiple ways. And we've heard from students that say how well they're cared for. And it's not, they're not just kind of passing through as customers, but their person, their whole being is of, an object of affection and nurture by the faculties and staffs. And it really opens up their formative years for rich possibilities under God's grace. They begin to understand, I really can live a life that is rich and wonderful, that is in accord with God's holy will and a beneficiary of his mercy where we stumble or fall, but that we can have a full life in our vocation, in our call to be a godly man, godly woman, godly husband, godly wife. It is a treasure and can make all the difference to young people who are searching.
And the concept of community, when I was in college, I went to secular colleges, and the loneliness, and out of loneliness comes despair, and out of loneliness comes temptation and error. But with the Christian schools, you're part of the family. You're never alone.
Right. Well, you've put on a very important point here is your self-understanding determines your behavior. And so if you are won over by a prevailing professor who says, look, this life is all there is, you will be tempted to experiment with different lifestyles and with different ingredients, and all of that diminishes who you are. If your self-understanding is that by God's grace, I am his creature, by God's grace, I have been redeemed by his Son, all of those things fade, and the beauty of service to neighbors and that addresses loneliness. You know, when you're serving others, it's hard to feel lonely. And what makes that service sparkle is that it's done out of a love for Christ and that witness to him, because we participate in God's life. Our baptism joins us to Christ's death and to his resurrection. So our lives are no longer just isolated, lonely journeys, but we are joined to the living God in his Son.
One of the biggest weapons, I think, in the adversary's arsenal is despair.
Right.
And this is something that we have to learn how to fight. And I think this is, to me, one of the most important lessons of Jesus on the cross was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What he was telling us was he understood the concept of despair and that there was salvation from it. You could fight it. You could go find your Heavenly Father.
Yeah, that's a very good point that, when you read the great prophets, they cry to God. When you read Job, they cry to God for his help, for his mercy, and God hears them. And the epitome of that, of course, is Jesus on the cross, where the very Son of God cries out for his Father's mercy and grace and presence. And he knows that that's his life. And it's striking that in Western culture now, for example, I just talked to a professor from Australia, and though they enjoy a really unparalleled beauty in their land and economic growth, the rate of suicide is growing. And often the despair shows itself, if not in that way, by a lack of willingness to have children. Their birth rate is plummeting because there's a deep despair over the meaning of life and over the purpose of life. And so it shows itself in behaviors of despair.
And suicide would be the ultimate victory of the adversary.
That is. And you can see it, in my view, in the elites of our culture today, the elites of government, the elites of the entertainment industry, the elites even of the business community. There's a deep despair and a kind of frantic effort to grab the moment and to enjoy some kind of power or pleasure that really is not capable of satisfying the human heart. I mean, we are restless until we rest in God and in His life. And that's what the church has to offer, and through the university system we offer, is the life of God in Jesus Christ, freely given from the cross and from His holy word and sacraments.
President Wente, we're in our final moments here. Andy, do you have any questions for the president?
Sure. What in convention this week directly impacts our Concordia University system? What are some of the issues that are being discussed at convention that will directly impact Concordia University system?
I think at the front of the kind of quay is the identification and adoption of the statement of the universities and of their boards of regents that their teaching is the teaching of the church, that our academic excellence, our personal and communal behavior is founded on the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and on His resurrection. And that is witnessed by sacred scripture and the Lutheran confessions. So that instead of the limited kind of tools that a secular university has, we are blessed with God's own word that guides us, and with His enfleshed word in Christ, to which we invite people to join themselves in holy baptism and then hear His voice as the voice of the living Lord who's at the Father's right hand and who guides His church and His people. So that identity statement is very key, and we're praying and confident that the delegates will affirm it, even as the presidents are going to publicly, as they already have, identify with the teaching of the church.
Very good. And what are you finding attending the convention? I'm sure this is one of many conventions you've attended, Dr. Wente. What's the atmosphere? What's the energy like at this convention?
You know, I have thoroughly enjoyed it because it seems that there's an energy and a positive spirit. And I think the tone was set by President Harrison when he said very forthrightly and repeatedly, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that we need not despair like the world, but that we have a wonderful truth to confess. It's the living truth of Christ. And that, I've sensed, is guiding and, really permeating the convention. So it's very enjoyable. I really have to say that at this point, at least, I've witnessed a minimum of distractions. And the worship and the conversation have been very positive. And I'm especially encouraged by the clarity of our church's witness. There's a courage and a kindness combined to speak the truth in love, and that's the truth of Jesus Christ, speaking it to the power of the government, to the power of other elites in our culture that are leading our people to consider other options. We want to have them consider the wonderful beauty and the truth of the Christian understanding of human beings.
Thank you, Dr. Wente. That's all the time we have. Thanks, Kip.
Thank you very much, Andy.